shoes off. We're going to wash some feet. I'm serious. No. It's good to see everybody this morning. Got a good crowd here today. Weather's beautiful. You can sense some fall in the air, right? I'm okay with that. It's what comes after that I'm not so good with, but one step at a time. You know, our VBS theme this year was the power of small things, and we're continuing to keep the excitement of VBS alive by talking about the power of small things in our lives. God can take things that are small and make them great. He can take things that are tiny and make them huge. And, you know, the reality is, in our world, in our daily lives, we have far more access to small things than we do the big things. The question is, are we using these things to make an impact for God? Have you ever had that uncomfortable moment happen to you? Somebody asks you to help them with something, and you don't want to help. You ever been there? I've been there. They come to you and they say, hey, can you help me with something? And if all truth be told, you just assume not. And maybe you don't quite know what to say. Maybe they got some heavy stuff and they want you to help them move. I've asked y'all to do that for me a few times. I appreciate it. Maybe it's something else. Maybe they've broken something and they want your help trying to fix it, and it's a dirty, nasty job, and you think, man, I'd just as soon not do that. Maybe they need a ride somewhere and it's inconvenient for you. You really don't want to help. You really don't want to put yourself in that position. Wouldn't it be cool if there was an app for that? Wouldn't it be cool if you could go to your phone when somebody would come to you and ask for your help, and you could go to your app and you could click on it and you could say, here is my ready-made excuse, right? I can't help. I've got an appointment scheduled. I would help you, but I've got a meeting right during that time. I can't do this. I've made plans, or I'm going to be out of town. You know, you might know that there's an app that will actually tell you can program it, and it'll make your phone ring. Seriously, one of my law partners has it. If he's going into a meeting and he doesn't want to be there long, he can set this app and it'll make his phone ring. He'll say, hey, I've got a phone call, I've got to leave. Truth. It's truth. But sometimes it would be easier if there was an app for that, where we'd have an excuse. But as followers of Christ, is this how we are supposed to live our lives? No. Are we to say yes to Jesus, but no to somebody in need? Are we to say yes to heaven, but no when we're asked to help? Well, let's look at what God's word says about our hearts and our attitudes. Just allow this scripture to speak to your heart this morning. You know, we all come here with different things, don't we? We all come here with different baggage. Some of us have had a great week. Some of us have had a terrible week. We all come here with different things in our hearts and our minds. We all bring different experiences to the table. So wherever you are this morning, let God's word speak to you. Picture the image of Jesus serving in this way. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Power is a funny thing in this world, isn't it? People in power often use that power to serve themselves, don't they? You see this in politics. You see this in academics. You see this in religion. You see this in the business world. Once a person gets to the top of the pyramid, then that person has the power, and the people under that person do what? They serve him, because he or she has the power. Whether you liked him or not, President Lyndon Johnson had an ability to get stuff done. When history looks back, you'll see a lot of accomplishments under his name because he had an ability to know how to work the system. And he said the following. He said, say whatever you will about me, I do understand power. I know where to look for it, and I know how to use it. That's the way the world looks at power, doesn't it? But here, we see Jesus. He's begun his ministry, his public ministry. He claimed to be powerful, but eventually claimed to be all-powerful. And not only did he claim to be a man, but he claimed to be God in man form. God, Lord, Savior. He's powerful, all-powerful. And what do we see him doing? He's washing feet. Now, I don't like feet. I don't enjoy washing feet, right? And I told y'all to take your shoes off. Anybody do that this morning? No, because y'all don't like feet either, right? But I guarantee you, if we all took our shoes off today and we took part in washing each other's feet, we would encounter nothing even close to what Jesus encountered the day he washed feet. You see, because we all have shoes, we all have socks, we have floors in our house, we have concrete sidewalks we used to get here. This floor is not dirt, right? I mean, underneath of it, eventually it is, but what we walk on isn't. In eastern lands, they walked on dusty, dirty roads. They wore sandals that were open. They didn't wear socks. And it was necessary for a person to wash their feet a lot. Now, that doesn't mean it's not necessary today, right? But it was really necessary then. It was common courtesy. It was a mark of honor for a host to have a servant or a slave there to wash the feet of his guests when they got there. In fact, it was a breach of hospitality if you didn't provide that for your guests. Wives often wash their husbands' feet. Children wash their parents' feet. But most people, of course, wash their own feet. I like that one. And in this dinner, in this supper, we read about in John chapter, in the verse we just read there, in John chapter 13. We don't read of servants being there to wash feet, but the need was still there. The disciples probably thought maybe they were too proud to engage in this task. So Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, Son of God, who came to this world in a miraculous way, that guy got a towel and a water basin, and he began to wash feet. The divine host of this dinner became a slave and performed a lowly service to his disciples. And he loved these guys. He knew one of them was about to betray him, but you know what? He still washed his feet. There's a lesson for us there, church. This setting takes place the day before the crucifixion. So you can imagine the human side of Jesus was dealing with a lot of emotion because he knew what was coming, didn't he? He knew what was about to happen, but yet he's there washing the feet, the dirty, nasty feet of his disciples. John tells us Jesus loved his disciples to the end. This was certainly evidence of that. The fact that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and the fact that we are called to live in a similar spirit of love and service and humility is not an easy thing to hear, is it? But if we can just allow ourselves to be receptive of this teaching, the truth of it will feed our spirits, and the truth will set us free. Don't listen to the voice that tells you your life is all about you. Don't listen to the voice that tells you you're to live for yourself. We want to be busy following the example of Jesus, don't we? We don't want to listen to this voice of self-love that Satan uses to try to get us off track. We want to follow the example of our Lord. The example of Jesus is a gift, isn't it? And it is given to us for our good. From this, we learn that it's our job to serve in humility. Washing feet is one small way we can serve in humility, but it's not the only way we can serve. You know, it might be mowing someone's grass. It might be taking them to the doctor. Maybe it's washing their car. Maybe it's helping them move. Maybe it's taking care of a financial need. Maybe it's with the clothing closet or the food pantry or the street ministry or the loved ones group. The list goes on and on about the small acts of service that we can do that result in big things. The question is, and this is a question each of us have to ask ourselves, are we humbling ourselves to show the love of Christ? We're promised that we'll be blessed when we do the things Jesus has taught us to do. You know, the act of humility is so important in our service, isn't it? The act of humbleness is so important for us. Humility is expressed in unselfishness. Humility is expressed often in deeds, not words. Humility renders us useful and valuable. Humility is our inward holiness being expressed outwardly. Humility can only come through self-surrender. And humility often means that we will be found serving folks that the world tells us are inferior to us, right? Think about that. When someone comes to us and has a need, or when we know of a need, do we ever go through the analysis, are they worthy of this help? Do we ever do that? We do that, don't we? We do that individually. Sometimes as a church, you ask about the need and you ask a bunch of questions, and you got to do that sometimes. But I want us not to miss a very important point here. When we begin to ask the question, is someone worthy of our service? We need to remember Jesus Christ washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. Amen? Jesus Christ washed the feet of Judas Iscariot, already knowing the fix was in. He was going to betray him, but you know what? He serves him in humility anyways. If that doesn't humble us in our service and in the questions we ask sometimes, then I don't know what will. Imagine for a moment being in that room with Jesus and his disciples. As he began to wash their feet before Peter talks, don't you imagine there's a silence in that room like no other? Don't you imagine the disciples are stunned by what they're seeing? Here's Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. There's a lot they didn't understand, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot they did understand. And he's washing their feet. Think about it in your life. Who is the most important person in your life? Imagine that person humbly sitting at your feet, washing them, serving you through an act of humility. Jesus' life was full of humiliation. But sometimes we're horrified at the slightest bit of humiliation, aren't we? How do we expect to know Jesus if we're not willing to seek him where he's found? He's found in the humble service. He's found in the cross. And it's our job to imitate him, church. That is our job. We can list up here a million things we're supposed to do as Christians, but our job at the end of the day is to imitate Jesus. And all those other things we've listed are going to happen when we do that. But you know what? We can never humbly serve Jesus on our own. We need God's help, don't we? We need God's help. We can't do this on our own. You know, sometimes we feel defeated because we think, well, I'm just not doing that, or I just don't have that same feeling or emotion or desire to do these things. We got to pray for that, church. We got to pray for God's Spirit to talk to our hearts and to lead our hearts and to direct our hearts to serve humbly in the ways God wants us to. We've never been called to do any of this on our own. We got to seek to serve Jesus along the path he has taken. That path is the path of humility. You know, it's not just enough for us to separate ourselves from the world. We must also allow humility to form in us something new, something that leads us to be more Christ-like. You know, separation from the world means turning away from worldly concerns, and we're to do that. But when humility is formed in us, our old self-centered way changes into our desire to be more Christ-like, where our pride is surrendered. And when we are willing to wash our neighbor's feet without resentment, then we know we're becoming more and more like the servant God wants us to be. There's power in small things, and we're to serve in humility. We also learn from this passage from Jesus washing his disciples' feet, it is important for us as Christians to avoid a self-centered love. Do y'all know what I'm talking about when I talk about self-centered love? This is hard. This is hard. This steps on toes, steps on my toes. But to love like Jesus, we have to learn not to listen to our self-centered love. That's the voice that whispers in our ear and gets us off track. But as long as we listen to the voice of self-centered love, we'll never be able to hear the voice of God in our lives. You know, self-centered love talks about how important it is to be well thought of here on this earth. Self-centered love looks down on washing feet or the menial tasks this world tells us are unimportant. Self-centered love looks down on mowing grass, taking people to appointments, doing the grunge work. But God's love, on the other hand, it whispers to us and tells us self should be forgotten. Self should be taken out of our thought process so that God can be glorified. You know, when we serve, it's not about us. It's about that person. It's about showing that person the love of God. It's great to serve people and give them food and clothing and whatever else they need. But when we do all that stuff in the name of Jesus Christ, that is where we're serving the way God wants us to. It's about his glory. But when we live in this earth, it's hard to understand this. The world pulls us in a million different directions that aren't in this direction. And self-love, the self-centeredness, prevents us from confessing our sins. It prevents us from seeking forgiveness or the healing or the transformation God wants us to give. But the light of God shows us what we really are. Try washing someone's feet or serving them in humbleness, and the state of your soul will be revealed. If we can wash our neighbor's feet without resentment, then we know we're serving the way Christ wants us to. But if we can't, if humble service is something we view as beneath us, then we have to question whether we're truly a disciple of Christ at all. We're told the servant is not greater than the master. You know, the point of trusting God and the point of doing these things isn't so we feel good. Now, that often is a result in serving others, isn't it? I mean, we get blessings from it. Most of the time, almost all the time, when you serve somebody, you're going to come away feeling better than when you went in. But that's not why we do it. We do it because we are being obedient to our Father, and we want to grow into the likeness of Christ a little bit more every day until we can humbly serve without shame. Small things become big things when God is involved. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect this side of eternity. But we get a little closer to that every time we pick up that wash basin and we pick up that towel or we pick up that toolbox. Or we pick up our egos and we go over and serve somebody in humbleness. That's what we're called to do. You know, we know when we serve the way God wants us to, we'll be blessed. And I'm so thankful for the examples of Scripture. You know, you look at this and you say, okay, I've never washed anybody's feet, so I must not be doing something right. It's far more than just washing feet. It's all those things we've talked about. It's taking somebody a meal. Ruth Ann's good at that, and Beverly's good at that, and I've been the recipient of that many times. I appreciate that. It's doing those things that sometimes seem small, but they're huge in the lives of somebody else. Think about this. What if you did actually sit down and wash somebody's feet, and that opened up an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus, which led them to become a Christian? That's what it's about, isn't it? It's about that in washing feet. It's about that in transporting people. It's about that in just spending time. You know, one of the big ways we serve, and we often lose sight of this, but man, it is important to be a good listener. Sometimes just sitting there listening to somebody, you can have an opportunity to lead them to Christ. Trust Him every day. You know, our goal should be to completely yield to God. And that's hard. That's hard in this world. But if we can completely yield to God, we will see things like we've never seen them before. But that requires us to lose sight of ourselves. It requires us to let God work in our lives the way He wants to. He wants us to be faithful of the things He asks us to do, even if that's washing feet. Trust Him. Lead Him. Let Him lead you where He wants you to go. That is an indication that we're starting to die to self. But dying to self can seem like a slow fire sometimes, can it? But it's when our self-interest gets diminished. That's when we find the strength and the inner peace we need to carry our cross. We've been called to carry our cross. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38 says, "Then He called the crowd to Him along with His disciples and said, 'Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for Me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when He comes in His Father's glory and with the holy angels." When we get rid of this self-centered love and we focus on sharing God's love, then we're going to see joy and strength and fellowship with each other like we've never seen before. Is there anything better than being together as God's family, serving people in need? No, there's not. And we see example of that all the time. This church is good at that. But we can always be better, can't we? You believe we can be better? Say amen. 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 It's about growing a little more each day. Becoming, constantly becoming more of that person, more of that church that God wants us to be. Don't get too attached to the things of this world, church. Because you know what? They're going to be gone, aren't they? I love using the sandcastle illustration. You know, the girls are down there building the sandcastle, and they're so proud of it, and it's great. And you know what happens in about a half hour? Water takes it away. You know what's going to happen to my house on Ridgeview Lane one day? Going to be gone, right? But our home, that mansion over the hilltop we sang about this morning, that's where our focus needs to be. Trust God. Love Him more than self. Love His glory more than your life. And if you're here this morning, you think, you know, this sounds great, but I don't really want to be emptied of myself. Sometimes we think that. That's a humanistic thought, and it gets into our minds, and we go through that. If that's where you are this morning, you're not alone. But pray about it. Pray to God for Him to give you that desire to empty yourself of self and fill it with Him and what He wants you to do. He'll put His love in your heart. He'll put His peace in your heart. Until you're able to wash your neighbor's feet or carry your cross, just like we see Jesus doing. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you want to have humble service in your life, you want to have the denial of self-love, there is power in small things, even in washing feet. You know, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, God wants to save you. God wants to transform you. He wants to take you from where you are in this world. He wants to wash you of your sins after you repent. He wants to make you clean and pure. He wants you to be buried in the waters of baptism where all that's washed away. Where you come up out of that water, not just clean, but with the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That's what He wants for each and every person here and each and every person out there. If you're here this morning, you've not taken that step. Why wait another moment? Why deny yourself the ability to have God's peace and His love and His joy and His hope? I guarantee you one thing, it's better than anything this world could ever offer you. If you're here this morning, you've not taken that step, we would love to help you with that. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you've lost track and you want the prayers of the church, we're here for you for that too. In fact, we all lose track sometimes, don't we? Let's pray for each other this week. Let's pray for our church family that we stay focused, that we stay on track, and that we listen less to self and more to God. It might be washing feet. It might be changing a flat tire. It might be making a bowl of beans. Whatever God gives you this week to work with, whatever opportunities He presents you with, serve humbly, deny self, and we'll lead people to Christ. If you have a need, we want you to come down as we stand and sing.